Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, indeed. This morning I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. And Teresa, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
And I know you and I are awaiting our turf expert. We like to call him our turf guru, John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. And when John connects to us too, not only will we talk gardens, we'll talk lawns.
We'll talk lawns and turf.
Can you all hear me well?
There.
Yes. In fact,
yay. Speaking of John Trappi, very good. John, good morning. Thanks,
good morning. Thanks
for taking time out. I think this may be the very first time in all these years that we've had not only John on and Teresa at the same time, but almost mid-December talking lawns.
Isn't that amazing?
And I can certainly see mine, at least for a while today. We expect maybe a half an inch or less here in the metro today. But, John, what's going on? I've been putting off a dormant seeding longer than I ever have.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more green visible than what we normally see this time of year. So it's still a great time to try to dormant seed if you're looking to thicken up any areas throughout your lawn or any turf grass areas. Just basically understand that you're not going to get any germination until next spring, and that's kind of the idea. So this is taking advantage of the lack of snow cover but still cool enough soil temperatures.
Absolutely. Speaking of taking advantage of our time, our experts this morning on our Smart Garden Show, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney and John Trappi from the U of M, our turf expert. Really, lawns and gardens is what we'll talk about today, and your chance to call in or text in your questions. Just one number to remember for either phone call or text, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at the first text that came in, and let me just read it. It says, I have white fluffy dots on Queen of Night and Orchid cactus plant, killing tips of the plants. I've talked to three master gardeners, and that's where the sentence ends here. Any ideas, Teresa?
I'd look at mealybugs.
Ah.
Yep. So you probably have their little insects that are like suckers. They like to suck out all the juices. So I would go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. They actually have an article on mealybugs. But then go to the houseplants and look at the pests that you see in the houseplants and see if you can see which one is most closely related to what you're seeing. But I'm thinking mealybugs because they're more fluffy. They're kind of cottony. And they have big fluffy stuff around them that kind of protects them. But it'll tell you how to take care of those on your orchid and the other plant that you have it on. Good luck,
John. Maybe we should talk about, because I know we'll be getting more questions about dormant seeding. Let's talk about the process. Exactly what is the best way to make sure in the spring we're going to see some growth?
Well, The beauty of the dormant seeding is that you have to do minimal soil disturbance this fall or this winter now, where you just rely on that freeze-thaw cycle over the winter and then early next spring to work that seed down into the soil. So we typically don't go out and rake up the area. I mean, it would be a good idea to remove any kind of excessive tree leaf litter if you have any, but otherwise just know that you would be seeding right now and just seed over the top of the lawn itself. Doing it on a day like today is actually going to be a great idea right before a little bit of snow to help get some of that seed down into the soil surface to get seed to soil contact. But otherwise, that's pretty much it. So it's a pretty foolproof way of getting some seed to germinate next spring.
John, is there any type of grass seed that's better than the other? Just, you know, one fescue, or maybe it depends on what kind of sun and soil. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it certainly depends on what's currently growing there, because more than likely that's what's going to grow best. But there's three species, really all of the cool season species that we have growing in our lawns in Minnesota work really well with dormant seeding. So Kentucky bluegrass, tall fescue, fine fescues. I'm a little bit partial to the fine fescues and tall fescues just because they're a little bit lower input, meaning that they require less nitrogen and fertilizer and mowing and things like that. So, but you can overseed with really any species of turf grass, and you'll generally receive about the same results for the establishment next spring.
All right, great. Grab a phone call this morning. Teddy calling in from Minneapolis, I believe. Teddy, you're on CCO. What is your question, please?
Hi, good morning. Considering the lack of precipitation as well as the drought, and we have the warm weather coming next week, would it be advisable to get out the sprinkler and water the lawn and trees again to get some more moisture in?
Yes. I'd say yes. Teresa says yes.
So as far as the, we're definitely still in a drought.
Teresa says yes.
We're definitely still in a drought. I would be a little bit nervous about water being on the leaves of plants and things like that, and then them freezing again. The good thing is that they're using a lot less water right now. They're still using some, but they're using a lot less. I would just try to be a little bit patient. I mean, weather can change. If we do get a really big warm-up where you get into the 50s and 60s, for a prolonged period of time, then maybe I would consider that. But otherwise, I would just be a little bit patient and just see how it goes, because they're not really using a whole lot of water right now, even though we are in a drought.
Except maybe perhaps water the evergreens just at their bases, because they
they're
always using water. So if
Great
you
point.
Haven't been good with watering your evergreens, give them a little help. But don't get them wet. John's right about that.
I've turned on and off my faucet a couple times, the outdoor faucet, not sure of the overnight temperatures. But someone, I think, Teresa, someone suggested, at least via text, what they do is they bring buckets of water from inside the house instead of turning out. If you have huge trees, it's going to take a lot of buckets of water. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure about that. But yeah, I like the idea of buckets for certain shrubs.
Oh, definitely. Just for your certain shrubs or your trees or a newly planted tree that you want really well watered, or those evergreens.
Here's a text, interesting text. I'm not sure if buckthorn, you know, it's a wily plant. Maybe it can sense things. But the texter says, might non-native trees like buckthorn grow and reproduce more vigorously in Minnesota because they sense they're in a, quote, hostile environment?
I don't know that they do it for that reason, but they will grow more vigorously perhaps because the environment is similar to where they came from. But there's no predators, there's no pests, and the diseases aren't there. So they're like just can go as free as they want because they have nothing to hold them back. So it's probably not the threat situation. It's more as they don't have any threats against them that they can just grow wild and really take over.
Boy, are they tough. They're so tough.
They are tough.
Right.
But it's a really good wood for woodworking if you like to woodwork.
Oh, is it really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. As we take a quick break, I want to pass along a question. Maybe you and John both, I think, will have input on this. And we'll answer this question when we come back. But what is the best alternative to grass in a shady backyard? We'll take this break. Come back with more Smart Garden here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is helping you out, along with turf expert from the U of M, John Trappi. Call us or text us with your lawn or garden question. We have many right now, 651-461-9226. John and Teresa, let's finish that question. Before we broke, then we'll grab some phone calls. What is the best alternative to grass in a shady backyard? What do you think, Teresa?
You know, it depends on what they're looking to do. If they're looking to have a bunch of dogs back there, maybe put down a wood mulch. If they're looking for more of a grass-like situation, they may want to try some Pennsylvania sedges or some of the sedges. If they're just looking to cover up the soil under trees and shrubs, I would go and think about a woodland garden. So you have things like the violets and the epimediums and hostas and ferns and all those beautiful things. And then also you plant in your early blooming spring bulbs, like your early daffodils and tulips and things like that, and your minor bulbs. And you can have a really beautiful, kind of almost magical sort of woodland garden in that shade. The first one or two years, if you put in a bunch of plants, I might put down a soaker hose under the mulch that you have just to get those plants established. After they're established, you should be able to back off on some of that watering because they'll all be just established and work with the trees and shrubs. And one other thing I would suggest is you can get online a book called The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. It's a free book you can download from the University of Minnesota. You can download the whole book or just sections, and there is a section on dry shade on there.
Yeah, get on the university website, extension.umn.edu. We will be, as we like to, mention that from time to time this hour. I want to grab a phone call. Ken's calling in from Blaine. Let's see what Ken has to ask this morning. Ken, what's your question?
Yes, thank you. I'm interested in finding out what type of research projects are being conducted currently at the University of Minnesota School of Horticulture. I am connected with the College of Science and Engineering, and they publish at least three times a year a very significant publication addressing what is happening at the College of Science and Engineering. And I want to know what publications like that are being published by the School of Horticulture.
Interesting question. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, I'm gonna defer to John on this one. Throw you under the spotlight there, John.
No, absolutely. So there are a couple of magazines that are put out by the Department of Horticulture that would tell you as far as some of the up-to-date research. Unfortunately, there's not an experiment station research report or anything like that. But if you're interested in particular fields, certain fields do have a monthly newsletter, like the Turf Lab has a newsletter where we put out research updates on things that we're currently doing. I know a couple of the other fruit and fruit, flower, and ornamental breeders also do some newsletters that are in some different areas, but there is a Department of Horticultural Science magazine that will have some research updates as far as some latest things that have been published.
All right, very good. Interesting question. Thank you, Ken. Call or text with your lawn or garden question. This number is 651-461-9226. In a few minutes, we'll check out that forecast. It looks like the temperatures already are dropping here in the Twin Cities. Earlier this morning, when we got on, it was 37. And let's see if that has changed. Now we're at 35. We expect to be about 30 later on. It's going to be maybe a snowy, rainy mix later today. We'll get you details coming along in just a few minutes from now. Can you, this texter says, and I think we've may have addressed this in previous shows, can you dormant seed a bee lawn?
Absolutely. So that's actually one of the best ways of establishing a bee lawn. As long as one of the issues with trying to do that is if you're trying to establish into an existing turf stand and if it's too thick, you may have to use a slightly higher seeding rate for the flowering plants that are a part of the bee lawn mixture. But otherwise, you know, if the site is thin because of, you know, the drought or stress or, you know, annual weeds that died from last year, dormant seeding at any time this winter or early next spring is a great strategy for establishing a bee lawn.
What kind of seed do you get for a bee lawn?
Well, there's most of our bee lawn, so we've been doing research for about 10 or 11 years on ideal mixtures for bee lawns, and most of the bee lawn mix itself is actually fine fescue grass seed. It's what we found works best for being the substrate or the dominant species within the mixture, but the other species are self-heal, creeping thyme, and then white clover, Dutch white clover.
Bees love that clover. For sure.
They certainly do.
They do.
This listener sent a text that said, my lawn was resided about 15 years ago. Now large areas are dying or dead. No amount of reseeding with soil overlay produces grasses that survive. Somewhat shady due to, oh, here's the culprit, to a large silver maple. What can I do?
Well, the silver maple is going to be, unfortunately, maples are really competitive with grass. Dense shade and really shallow surface and aggressive surface roots. So in some cases it's because of the shade, some cases because of the drought, a little bit of both. I would consider planting a more shade-tolerant turfgrass species like the fine fescues. They're the most shade-tolerant turfgrass species we recommend planting. The other thing is to consider planting something like Teresa had mentioned earlier as far as a dense shade area. That still tries to serve that same function of that turf, such as the wood chips. But otherwise, in some cases, it's too much shade. All of turf grasses need at least a couple of hours of direct sunlight. If it's getting less than that, I would consider something else for the site.
All right. Very good. We need to take a break and have a look at that forecast. We have about another half hour of the show to go on our Smart Garden Show. Your lawn and garden question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text at 651-461-9226. Back after the weather here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Helping you out this morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, and from the University of Minnesota, our turf expert John Trappi. If you have any kind of a lawn question, this is your day today. And any other lawn or type of question, garden question for Teresa, we've got some good help today, as usual. 651-461-9226 for either a phone call or a text. Let's see, where did we leave off here? I have, texture says, over 40 mature shrubs. Yesterday, I set a small sprinkler to a little over 2 gallons a minute and set it near the base of each shrub for 20 minutes. Is that enough to get them through the winter, do you think? Can I put my sprinkler away? Big question. Note, I dormant seeded a few weeks ago, and the seed is sprouting. I bought more seed for spring. How about that? I guess if you dormancy a little too early, that can happen, right,
yeah.
John?
Yeah, that is a risk with you know, if you're kind of impatient and or we get these sudden warm up periods. We do have temperatures down around freezing despite these temperatures now. So I think you're pretty much in the clear for the rest of the late fall, early winter. So I think you'd be fine there, and I think it's a good idea to have some seed left over just in case any of those seedlings that did germinate don't make it through the winter. You can just get out before the, as the snow is melting in the spring, and it'll effectively be the same thing.
I know we get questions, and Teresa will back me up, too, on this, from time to time about grass seed. Some will text and say, I've had a bag of grass seed for 2 years or how many years. Can you store grass seed? Will it last if it's stored properly?
As long as it's in a cool and dry place, grass seed can last for years. Now, you do lose a little bit of germination percentages as it goes down, so you may need to increase the rate. But what I do is that with any leftover grass seed that I have, I put it into a 5-gallon bucket and then get like a screw top lid that can seal it up to keep the moisture out, and then just keep it in a cool and dark place.
Okay, very good.
And if you're worried that it's been too old, you can just take a few seeds out, say 10 seeds, and sprout them on your kitchen counter. I think Julie has a YouTube video on how to sprout seeds. Then you can kind of see what your germination rate might be. If none
Great
of them
idea.
Sprout, maybe the seed's totally bad. If all of them sprout, you're good to go.
Oh, that's a good idea. In fact, this is a good point to mention again, the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. I mean, we always like to say it's great winter reading, but it's great. It's a great
anytime reading.
Source anytime. I mean, there's so much great information on there. Yeah, check it out if you haven't already, extension.umn.edu. This texter said, had grass that died in summer's drought. What would be a good grass for boulevard that gets hot and dry, and what would be best to plant since our homeowners association will put down Preventer in the spring and Weed Killer later? That's an important distinction there, isn't it, John?
Yeah, that's a tough situation there. So what I would recommend doing is still seeding this spring just to make sure or trying to do like a dormant seeding with tall fescue and or fine fescue. I think that both of those would work for a boulevard situation. They're fairly salt-tolerant grasses. The fine fescues are the most salt-tolerant that we recommend. So that's a lot of times that's one of the stresses that's hurting the boulevard. The other aspect is pre-emergent herbicide. If you can, I would put off on doing that and then use, if you're really concerned about controlling weeds or if you do have a lot of weed pressure, you could do a post-emergent application after the seedlings have matured and you've mowed it a few times. So basically trying to control any crabgrass seedlings that come up in early June about is the timing for most of Minnesota. So that would be my strategy, is to try to put off on doing that pre-emergent. If you don't have control of that, I think you're going to really struggle with trying to seed into that area, and you may have to do that next fall.
You know, I was just thinking, given all the questions about dormant seeding and grass seed in general and lawns, does the change in our zone, to 5A or whatever that happens, does that change any possibility of certain types of grass seed being able to be grown?
Not really. That's a great question, though. All of the grasses that we recommend are typically, they're still grown all the way down into northern Missouri. So the hardiness zone hasn't really affected that. We might start seeing some of the warm season grasses, but those are not established by seed. Those are typically vegetatively established by plugs. You might see zoysia grass or Bermuda grass. Zoysia grass can grow in Minnesota, but it may winter kill every few years, just in case anybody's thinking of trying it. But it is a turf grass species that is found throughout the Twin Cities and things like that. So,
Do you want to explain warm season and cool season grasses?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just so folks know.
Yeah, so cool season grasses just grow better in the spring and fall, and warm season grow better in the summertime. So they are a little bit better adapted, but you know, they're still going to winter kill every few years just because you know, we may not have snow cover or anything like that. So even if you plant a warm season grass, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to thrive in Minnesota now. And you know, just because the hardiness zones have changed doesn't mean that the growing conditions have really changed from what we've experienced. It's just changed what we're calling them. So we're still recommending cool season turf grass species for lawns and any turf grass areas.
Very good. Thanks for that. Here's a description now that maybe John, what's the new grass that's come up in the yard the past few years? It's clumpy, flat, hard blades, dark green. I'm afraid it's going to get out of hand if left alone. Do you know what the listener might be referring to?
Yeah, that's a little bit difficult. I'm not sure what that could be. If it's hard and clumpy like that, that makes me think that maybe it's just a tall fescue, just a coarser type of tall fescue, one of the older varieties that's somehow spreading into the lawn or was already there, and it's just out competing the rest of the cool season. It's fairly drought tolerant and heat tolerant, so it might be just being more competitive with these last couple of droughty years. We do have a website on the extension webpage for is this plant a weed, where you can identify certain types of weed species. I would encourage this texter to check out that webpage and see if they can't help getting identification with that. Otherwise, you can just go to the Ask a Master Gardener link and send in some photos, and we can help identify it that way as well.
Yeah,
and
very
they
good.
Might want to consider nuts edge too. That's one that people, the nuts edge, the sedges,
yep,
that creep
great
in.
Call.
And
right.
they're very aggressive.
Right. You know, I was thinking, here we are in the gift-giving season. And, Teresa, what would be kind of a fun gift for a host, or if you're getting together with some relatives or friends for a little get-together, and just maybe as a host or hostess gift, the person maybe doesn't have a green thumb. What kind of a plant, a green or growing thing, would be good?
What kind of a plant? So there's so many different plants out there. There's the wonderful, all the holiday cactus are really nice. The poinsettias are absolutely beautiful. Cyclamens are beautiful. Think about if that person has pets or children and take that into consideration. The extension website will help you through that. And also, you know, some of these things are very poisonous, like cyclamens to pets. And poinsettias aren't really poisonous. They just taste really awful and can make you sick if you eat a whole bunch of them. But there's so many beautiful holiday plants out there. Just kind of think of what the person can handle. Maybe an African violet would be the easiest because they're fairly tolerant to a lot of different things, and they do flower absolutely beautiful. And if you can, give them, download a care sheet on them and add that with the plant, and maybe a pretty pot too, because they come in the foil pots, but you want to take those foil sleeves off when you water, because you want the water to make sure it drains through and doesn't sit in a puddle in those foil slots. So maybe a beautiful little pot and a care sheet, and then the little plant, and make sure if it's say under 30, 35, 32, 25 degrees, that you're bringing that in a plastic bag. And if it's really cold, you're bringing that in two plastic bags. You're really keeping
protected,
that
whole
plant
yeah.
warm, because they're very, 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 very warm season plants.
Good ideas. Great. Thank you. Let's grab a phone call before break. Jack, I believe, is on the horn calling in from Jenkins today. Jack, thanks for waiting. What is your question?
I have two questions. The best type of grass seed to use for overseeding this time of year, and a honeysuckle plant with a lot of foliage, about 3 years old, but not very, very little blooms last year. Thank you.
Okay.
Grass seed first, John.
Sure. We're getting dominating turf questions. I apologize, Teresa. So
that's okay. You're the expert. People love their lawns. We have to talk about lawns.
Okay, so as far as the grass seed, we kind of addressed this earlier. I would just try to match with whatever you already have growing on your site. Really, any of the grass species of the fine fescues, tall fescue, or Kentucky bluegrass, or a mixture of all three, would work really well for that. I would just match, you know, if it's a full sun site, I would consider planting more tall fescues. If it's a more shaded site, I'd consider planting more or dormant seeding with more fine fescues.
Okay.
And with the honeysuckle, it could just be that it's not getting enough sun, or if you have it planted where it's getting a lot of extra grass fertilizer, if you fertilize your lawn and it's right there, it might be getting too much nitrogen in the soil. So if you cannot fertilize close to that plant, that would be good. Otherwise, give it a regular 10-10-10 fertilizer as soon as it comes out of dormancy in the spring, and make sure it's getting full sun, and you should start to see a lot more flowers on it.
All right, very good. We're going to take a quick break. We have more Lawn and Garden Talk when we come back. However, 651-461-9226. With us this morning, answering your questions, Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, and our turf expert from the U of M, John Trappi. So stay with us here on 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, and our turf expert from the U of M, John Trappi. I was thinking of the forecast, Teresa and John. We're going to have some windy conditions today, and I'm looking at some text messages about removing leaves. And I thought whatever we remove today, we'll probably be back tomorrow. So maybe wait a day or two for that, because it's going to be blustery tonight as well. But another text, and maybe you can, I know we've talked about a percentage of lawn we could see. Is it too late to clear the layer of leaves from my large yard? How will it affect my yard next spring is the question.
Well, I definitely think it's a good idea to try to do something with the leaves. And what we generally recommend is to try to mulch them and still mow them. You know, I think you can still get out and do that, especially if the ground is not frozen. I think it'll be a little bit easier with mulching up the leaves with your mower, if you haven't already put it away for the winter. Otherwise, what I would recommend doing is just is trying to rake them or collect them and to be able to compost them. Normally, we just recommend trying to recycle them, to recycle those nutrients back into the lawn. But if you do have excessive tree leaves, if for whatever reason you haven't been able to get it to them, it can lead to snow mold and a little bit of other winter diseases and stresses for the lawn going into the spring. So trying to do something with them is better than nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Because I've seen samples in the neighborhood of somebody who did not remove leaves. It is devastating to lawns.
Well, it's a great way to get rid of your lawn if you want to get rid of your lawn. It's a really easy way to do it. But a lot of cities might have stopped their collection already. So if you can just hold those bags of leaves, a lot of times they'll turn into some nice leaf mulch into the spring. And then you can use that leaf mold in your gardens, or you can then throw the leaves once they're dry back out on the lawn in the spring and mow them in or mulch them in then if you want to, or just use the leaves as a mulch in your gardens.
Very good. Texter says this: my magnolia tree has big pussy willow buds in this warm southwestern Minnesota weather. I brought some in to force it. Will it be okay next spring, do you think?
It really depends on how far along those buds get. They have what's almost like an antifreeze in them up to a certain point of growing, and then that helps protect them all winter long. Once they get past that point and they get too big, they've lost that, and then the buds could frost off. The worst thing is that you don't see as many flowers next year. So it's really not going to hurt the plant at all. There's really nothing we can do about it anyway, because the plant's going to do what the plant's going to do.
That's right. John, this texter says this: after dormant seeding, my husband put peat moss over the seed. Is this necessary?
Most of the time, no. There might be some benefit if you're in a really sandy soil of trying to just, and it doesn't have to be right now. If anything, I would advise not doing that, just because, you know, you run the risk of adding too much and you could promote snow mold, like we were saying, just basically mimicking what we had just mentioned with the tree leaves. So if anything, I would avoid doing it if you've already done it. Just see how it comes up and, conduct yourself a little experiment.
Teresa, you mentioned the word nuts hedge. A listener says, what is the best way to get rid of it?
You can pull it and dig it out. And John may have some ideas too. And there are herbicides, but make sure that they are listed for your lawn or wherever your nuts edge is, and then it lists nuts edge in there. And then read and follow the label, because the label is the law.
Correct. There are so one of the frustrating things about the nuts edges is that they spread. They have little nutlets where it gets mm-hmm. its name that are underground that are very difficult to manually pull. So herbicides are an effective option, and there are selective herbicides for removing those but not hurting your grass. Those all contain a class of herbicides called sulfonyl urea herbicides. And if you just type in sedge control, umn.edu, or anything like that onto Google, you'll come across our webpage for finding on how to control those, just in case you can't remember that or have any other questions about controlling that weed.
All right. Listener says, I have resuscitated my orchid and it has started to bud. Should I be feeding it?
You can feed it. Yep. Go ahead and feed it now. And just like a half strength or a quarter strength would be just fine.
Okay. Nice comment from a listener saying, greetings. Just want to say how much I enjoy this Saturday morning show. I've learned so much over the years. Thank you. Well, thank you for, first of all, for listening and for taking the time to comment. With these current fluctuating temperatures, listener writes, when is the right time to cover my bulbs with mulch, or should I have done that already?
No, you can wait. It depends on when the soil starts to freeze. If that happens before we get snow, I don't think we're going to get much snow for the rest of the year. So you could even maybe wait because it's not going to be that cold either. As soon as the soil starts to freeze up, then you can put down your mulch. You can put it down now too. It's just that any moisture we get, if the soil's dry and you've got mulch on top, that moisture won't make it down to the bulbs as readily, as quickly. It has to go a further distance. So you can hold off if you want to. If you've got to do it now, you've got to do it now. It's no big deal. Give
couple
the bulbs
minutes.
A drink first. A
couple of minutes to go in the show. Good morning. Texture says, I just finished the final leaf pickup this week and wondered if it's okay to spread a bag of pellet gypsum. What is that about, John?
So gypsum is calcium sulfate, so it can be a little bit of so it's a fertilizer source. We don't recommend planting that, spreading that unless you have plants that are actively growing, just for the sense of potentially losing or surface runoff or anything like that. So I would recommend waiting until next spring, because there's really not going to be any benefit over the winter of doing that. Wait until you have actively growing turf.
We have about a minute to go, and I think we have time for one more text, and I think we've covered everybody. Are iris leaves poisonous for pets?
I'm not 100% sure. I would go to the ASPCA website and look that up. I don't recall that they are, but don't count on that. I would definitely look it up.
Okay, and another reminder to check out, if you haven't done so already, I know if you have, you're a fan, the University of Minnesota website. It's extension.umn.edu. And how about a plug for our beautiful
Arboretum.
Yes, what a great time, any time of the year. But this is a fun time, right?
It is, and the poinsettia tree is up, so you can go and get pictures.
Yeah,
and
now
take pictures in front of the poinsettia tree.
For those that don't know where it is, you have to head west on Highway 5 and 41. That's the closest intersection. And it's just a hop, skip, and a jump off to your left there. But you have to go online to reserve a spot, right?
You do. And I think a 3-mile drive is probably still open because it hasn't frozen yet. So,
great.
So you'd still be able to drive. But check the website first, yes.
Yeah. University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. John, thank you so much, John Trappi, for taking the time on this weekend. Teresa, always a pleasure. And let's we may be talking gardens yet before this year is out. But thank you both for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Teresa. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, and again, our turf expert, John Trappi from the U of M. We're going to talk home improvement with Andy Lindis next hour. So get those questions ready here on News Talk 830 WC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.